Welcome back to hour two of the Frank Zappa celebration on Turn It Up Till 11. This is Mick Muller.
And Benjamin Miner.
And I'm going to say something about the next couple of songs here. Echidna's Arf of You, Don't You Ever Wash That Thing. These two songs back to back are the pinnacle for me right here is musicianship and the tightness of this band and the two drummers and everyone doing their solos. And it's an instrumental piece that just pushes you up against the wall and you cannot ignore the song.
I played this stuff for a friend of mine who I was trying to get into Zappa. He sat back and listened to it for several minutes. He turned his head to me and he said, "Zappa could have named the Mothers the Tricky Lick Drill Squad."
And that's true. I mean, you could find interviews on YouTube of people like Steve Vai when he auditioned to be in the band, and he talks about the process that he had to go through.
I remember my audition. He asked me to come down and learn all these songs, and he says, "Play this," and he picks up his guitar and he kind of cryptically plays a line, and he goes, "Okay, now play it in 7/8. I said, "Okay," and I played it in 7/8, you know, and he goes, "Okay, now play it 7/8 reggae." And I thought for a minute, and I said, "Okay," and I play it in 7/8 reggae, you know, and it's this ridiculous line. And then he goes, "Okay, now add this note," and I looked up at him, I said, "It's impossible. Nobody could do it." And he goes, "Well, I hear Linda Ronstadt is looking for a guitar player."
There was a certain point after the second iteration of the Mothers with Flo and Eddie, he got serious about the musicians in the band, and you had to audition. You had to be really, really, really good because he started to write some extremely tricky stuff, of which this is an exemplary example, if I can say that.
You can say that, sure. Yeah. I'm always amazed when there's all the intensity of a Zappa composition on display here, but there's also his capacity to just allow the band to be a great band, and there's a part in the second half of this and Don't You Ever Wash That Thing where they break into a groove and you get to hear just the arranging that he was able to do with the band and the soloing that he was always able to allow them. He always wanted to feature people. The bass playing is fantastic. I'm going to mix up which one is Tom and which one is Bruce, but it was Tom Fowler and Bruce Fowler were the bass player and the trombone player, and they both shine on this. And I remember hearing this and thinking, because again, Weather Report, some of like the way they rap this tune sounds like a Weather Report break. Just listen for it at the end, and I'm not sure everybody's going to hear that the way I do, but the way that the saxes work, and it's this just a very bluesy outro. It's amazing to hear after the breakneck Echidna's Arf and all of the tricky licks that we get subjected to. Eventually, we just come in for a very smooth landing, and that's one of the things that I find is one of the real pleasures of listening to Zappa, is it can pin you to the wall with things that are incredible and musicianship that will blow your mind, but he also wants it to be a great ride for the listener.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, here we go.
Gentlemen, watch Ruth. All through this film, Ruth has been thinking, what can I possibly do that will amaze everyone? I think she's come up with the answer. Just keep your eye on her.
Thank you.
So, what did you think of that, Hay? Pretty amazing. I've seen many Zappa cover bands after he died in 93. The Muffin Men, Ed Palermo, Dweezil Zappa. And when they try to play Echidna's Arf, which is the first half of the song that you just heard, they sometimes would just stop at the end of that song instead of going to the next one and then just look around and congratulate each other like, oh my word, we just made it through. You know, we did it.
I want that second half when I hear them do that. I'm always impressed, and it's always exciting, but I always feel like they stopped halfway through. They're two different compositions, right. But you become so accustomed to hearing that second half and hearing that break where the band gets to kick back afterward. I kind of want them to have the opportunity to do that.
To mellow out. So the next song is called Cheapness, and he'll introduce it to you, Frank, himself, about, you know, it's about cheap horror movies from the 50s, and in the live on the DVD or the Blu-ray, if you watch it, they actually play the song twice. The first time is just the instrumental, just the without the words and without some of the horns. They play just the percussion track, which he then laid back on when he made the album. He included them both in there, I think. Anyway,
that was a real treat for me. It was you're listening to this, watching this film, and listening to this music, and then there's a big percussion break, and they're kind of just doing percussion stuff, and Frank himself is playing, which I hadn't seen before, playing the percussion parts as well. And then after a moment, I'm realizing, I know what this is.
It's Cheapness.
They go all the way through the entire percussion section of the song, and I thought maybe that was it at that point. But no. He was just getting ready to ramp it back up again and play it all the way through for a second time with the lyrics and the rest of the band.
Right. So this is Cheapness here.
Let me tell you something. Do you like monster movies? Anybody? I love monster movies. I simply adore monster movies, and the cheaper they are, the better they are. And Cheapness, in the case of a monster movie, has nothing to do with the budget of the film, although it helps. But true cheapness is exemplified by visible nylon strings attached to the jaw of a giant spider. I'll tell you a good one that I saw one time. I think the name of the film was It Conquered the World. And do you ever see that one? The monster looks sort of like an inverted ice cream cone with teeth around the bottom. It's like a teepee or a sort of a rounded off pup tent affair. And it's got fangs on the base of it. I don't know why, but it's a very threatening sight. And then he's got a frown and, you know, ugly mouth and everything. And there's this one scene where the monster is coming out of a cave, see? There's always a scene where they come out of the cave at least once. And the rest of the cast, it must have been made around the 1950s, the lapels are about like that wide, the ties are about that wide, and they're about this short. And they always have a little revolver that they're going to shoot the monster with. And there's always a girl who falls down and twists her ankle. Of course there is. You know how they are. The weaker sex and everything, twisting their ankle on behalf of the little ice cream cone. Well, in this scene, folks, they didn't want to retake it because it must have been so good they wanted to keep it. But when the monster came out of the cave, just over on the left-hand side of the screen, you can see about this much 2x4 attached to the bottom of the thing as the guy is pushing it out. And then, obviously, off camera, somebody's going, "No, get it back." And they drag it back just a little bit as the guy's going, "Now that's cheapness, all right? And this is cheapness here.
One, two, three, four. I eat a hot dog, it tastes real good. I then watched a movie from Hollywood. I eat a hot dog, it tastes real good.
Yum, 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 yum.
Then I watch a movie from Hollywood.
Yum, 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 yum,
yum, yum, yum, yum. Little Miss Muffet on a squat by me, yeah. Took the train around, I said, can you all see now? The little strings on the giant spider. The summer from the black lagoon. The best spider takes for the boat. Side of the moon.
And gentlemen, the monster which the peasants in this area call Frunabulax, apparently a very large poodle dog, has just been seen approaching the power plant. Bullets can't stop it. Rockets can't stop it. We may have to use nuclear force.
Here comes that poodle dog.
They
got a blimp with a rhinestone collar.
Guard is formed up at the base of the mountain, is attempting to lure the enormous poodle towards a cave where they hope to destroy it with napalm. 1,000 of the troopers are now lined up and are calling to the monster.
Here, Fido. Here, Fido. Here, Fido.
Got a great big slimy thing. Got a great big hairy thing. Got a great big poodle thing. Got a great big hairy thing. Got a great big slimy thing. Got a great big hairy thing.
Go to the shelter, go to the shelter, my baby, my baby. Go to the shelter, go to the shelter.
Little Miss Mumbledore squat by me, kiss you, little strings dangling down. Makes your legs go wild with a mouth. Baby, I'm sorry, cause that's all I wanna know. I need a little more cheapness, please.